Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Get Healthy Now with Denise Thompson, founder and CEO of Mickle Knight. I am an educator, author, speaker, nurse, and very passionate about healthy living. Today we have the honor to have a guest speaker with us, and her name is Hazel Palashi. Are you on the air with me now, Hazel? Hello? Okay. Let me see if I can connect with her.
Can you hear me? He just muted it.
Yes, awesome. So let me just introduce you to our guest for today. Hazel is a certified clinical hypnotherapist and coach, an entrepreneur, and an Amazon best-selling author, as well as an NLP practitioner and stress management counselor. Additionally, she is the founder of Your Stairway to Wealth. Hazel says, wealth is not just about money. She also holds certification as an NLP practitioner, stress management counselor, and much more. So I just want to say good morning, Hazel. I'm so happy you're on the air with me. How are you doing today?
Good, Denise. Happy to be here.
Oh, great. Well, this is actually a continuation of the show we had on May 26th. And so we're just going to continue, but we're going to stress that to the people who are going to listen to it afterwards or the ones who are going to join us on the call that this is the second part of our airing. And I just want to go right into it. If they want to hear the other ones, they can go back to May 26, 2016, and listen to the first part. So my first question to you, Hazel, is why is it so important that the subconscious and conscious areas of our mind work together?
Well, as a clinical hypnotherapist, obviously, I learned about this a long time ago. I mean, I've been doing this for over 20 years. If your subconscious and your conscious mind are not integrated, then whatever you say on a conscious level, because the subconscious is 90% of your brain power, that can override everything else. So let's say that, you know, I've had clients over the years who say, I don't understand it. I'm doing everything that Jane over there is doing, and yet I am not getting the same results. And when we start looking at it, I find that it's because on a deeper level, they're saying to themselves, I don't know. I don't think I can do this. What if I fail? I don't have enough intelligence to be able to do this. Your subconscious holds the patterns and memories and words from birth to present day, and that's 90% of your brain power. So you've got 10% of conscious memory or mind. If you don't learn how to tap into your subconscious so that it integrates with your subconscious is always going to take over. However, it can be changed. So when I'm working with my coaching clients, usually they will allow me to do hypnosis with them on the phone as well. And the hypnosis is so that we can get the subconscious to change messages so that they become more positive and override all the self-limiting beliefs. And that way they go on to create the success that they want. And to date, I have never actually had anybody that has failed at doing that. But that's the reason why it's so important that the two are integrated, because otherwise the subconscious, you may not even realize it, but it will take over. So having the subconscious think positively the same way that your conscious mind thinks, and the fact that consciously you are aware that on a deeper level you may be giving yourself negative messages, that becomes very important.
Wow. 90% versus 10%, that is huge.
Yes. Go
ahead.
No, I just said very big.
Yeah. Yeah. And it sounds from what you just said that we are actually our worst enemy, our worst fear. Instead of having self-confidence, we have self-doubt. And you're saying that with hypnotherapy, you can kind of rewire our brain so that we have more self-confidence and we look forward to getting things accomplished. Is that correct?
Absolutely. You can change the neuron pathways in your brain so that they work differently, and you override the negative messages. It doesn't matter what people think they had from childhood. You might think you had the most wonderful, incredible childhood, which unfortunately a lot of people don't. And yet if somebody, a teacher, a parent, said to you that it's not good enough, that you got a B instead of an A, then you're going to carry that forward with you. When you become the adult and now you want to create something for yourself, that message, that B, is going to be the one that on an unconscious level takes over. So now you've got that little tiny self-doubt creeping around in there that's saying, well, I don't know, if I can't get this right, what happens? Maybe I'll fail. And if I don't get this right, you know, people will laugh at me. If I don't get this right, what is everybody going to say? People will think I'm an idiot. Whatever the messages are, remember, children perceive what they perceive. That doesn't mean that they get what we as parents think they get. They perceive whatever they get in their own way.
So true. I mean, looking back, even a few years ago, people said something and they meant something totally differently than the way I perceived it. And that goes back to your very first thing where you say, we think we should be able to do whatever, whenever it is because such and such was able to do it. But we are such different people. Even if we're from the same family, just looking at siblings, we're all different. We have different genes, even if they're shared between mom and dad. So, because we're our own human beings. So
absolutely.
That's a really good point. Yeah. I have another question for you. Can you share with our listeners what living life to the fullest means? What do you do to make that happen?
Well, I can only tell you what it means to me. But if you're living every day doing what you love, then and you're working when, for instance, I am living every day doing what I love. I'm working when I want to work. I don't work when I don't want to work. I'm spending time with my grandchildren, with my family, my friends. I read great books. I do some traveling when I want to. I'm a little bit over the traveling thing, but, you know, at 75, I've seen a lot of places in the world. But living life is exactly what I said. Living it to the fullest is making sure that you're not stuck in a job that you hate, that you're doing what you're passionate about. There's no reason why you can't be, even if you're working and you're employed, it doesn't mean that you can't do something that you're passionate about on a part-time basis until it becomes something you can afford to do on a full-time basis. It doesn't mean that you get up in the morning and you say to yourself, oh, God, it's another day. I just am not looking forward to this. It's about getting up in the morning, even when you're tired, and saying, whatever the day brings, but I am going to love the day. I'm grateful for all the wonderful things in my life, and That's really what living life to the fullest means. It means that you do not live your life as a victim. We are all victims of circumstances. That is, you know, something that nobody can really do anything about. You know, you may have had, I had a terrible childhood. And was I a victim? Sure. I was a victim of the circumstances I was in. Does that mean that I had to be a victim and play the victim? No. It means that as I got older and I did my own growth work, I decided I didn't like being the person that I was, the one that got up in the morning, was grumpy and grouchy and didn't really want to be where I was, and I changed all of that. Now, I am talking about having done this years ago, of course, because, you know, being in your 70s, hopefully you've done this a long time before now. But when I was in my 40s, I just didn't like what I had become and where I was at that time. And so I started to make changes. Anybody can do that. You don't have to play the victim role.
That's right. I think it's all attitude again, as we have talked about last time. And you mentioned something very important, which I have taken to heart, actually over a year ago, I think. That's before I even get out of bed. I think, for me, it's God. For somebody else, it's the universe or some other supreme being. But I thank God for a good night rest, for a warm bed, for being able to get out of bed, putting clothes on my back, food on the table, having a roof over the head, and for being allowed to go and make a difference in somebody's life. And I usually choose a person or two that I specifically pray for. And it doesn't have to be always in personal contact, but just in whichever modality, means, ways we can do it, telephone, email, whatever, it works out that I can actually be a blessing to these people. And that, for me, is living the life to the fullest also.
Right.
So that's my version of yours.
Right, but it's true. You know, I find it very sad when I see people that are just allowing themselves to live because of everything life throws at them. In other words, they don't live at cause so that they are creating their life. They live at the effect of whatever's going on around them. You know, in NLP, we talk about the cause and effect situation, where you can create your life and live at cause, or you can allow everything that life throws at you to just hit you. And that's how you live your life. Well, often life will throw you a lot of curveballs. So, you know, if you don't take charge and create your own life the way you want it, then you won't be living life to the fullest.
True. And you just mentioned something about, you know, living life to the fullest and getting stuck in fear and whatnot and doubt. What can we actually do to get unstuck so that we can live more fearlessly? Do you have any suggestions for that?
Well, the first thing that people have to be able to do is be honest about the fact that they are in that place. A lot of people stay in denial about this. So and it's fearful sometimes to make change. It's fearful to come out of a place where you've been in that comfort zone for so long, you don't know anything else. But the one thing I say to clients always is, you may be in that comfort zone now, but that comfort zone can change and become a new comfort zone. One of the ways, of course, in which one of the fastest ways you can do this is actually doing it with hypnosis. But if you don't do it that way, you can, first of all, you should have your life story written in handwriting the way you want it to look, so that you have that vision. And you write it as if everything has already happened. This is not about a vision board to create, you know, you can have a vision board, that's great, have a vision board so that you know where you want to go. And the other thing is you have to know where you want to go. If you're not honest about wanting to change, you know, people will, words are cheap. You can say whatever you like, but if you don't take the action, then nothing happens. So one of the things you can do is you write out your life vision, but not on the computer. You do it in handwriting because it's an idiom. Handwriting goes from directly from the hand to the brain. It's an idiomotor response. And you write it as if it's already happened. Oh, wow, I got up this morning. I was feeling so great. I'm so grateful that I have this and this and this or whatever. And, you know, the first thing I do is I go and have breakfast or I work out. And then I get on with my day by, you know, I have these wonderful days where I do this and this and this. And I am so happy every day. I live in the house or home I want to live in. You know, I drive the car I want to drive. Money flows effortlessly so that I don't have to worry about paying my bills. That is a life vision. It's not a storyboard. It's not a vision board. It's a life vision. Because you have to know how you really want your life to look. Great having it. I mean, I have a wonderful vision board. And it's great having that vision board, but that doesn't actually tell me how I want my life to look. It tells me what I want to achieve. And that's a little different. That's like goal setting. But when you write out a life vision, you are looking at the life that you intend to be living as if you are already living it. Does that make sense?
Powerful. That's powerful. Well, I just had an experience where in a seminar, all of us had an issue with something. So we were asked to write with our dominant hand to that something why we are having an issue with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we put the pen down. And within a minute or so, we had to switch the pen to the non-dominant hand and write the answer from the issue standpoint. And then
mm-hmm.
at the end, took it back in the right in the dominant hand and wrote the answer. And man, was that an awakening. I had no idea. I had no idea what I wrote with my left hand. It just came from the brain. And it flowed just flawlessly. And I go, OMG, I really have to take my life into my hands and do something with it and get rid of the fear and just really get unstuck and do the best I can to live a very worthwhile, happy, amazing life. And I can do that. And now I'm fully aware of it. And I think that's what you just mentioned. You are, after you've written the letter, you're fully aware of what's going on and you have actually the power to change that.
Exactly. The other thing that people need to do, because they don't put, a lot of people don't realize this, when you are going to forgive someone, you don't need to tell them that you forgive them. You're doing this for yourself. Forgiveness is for you. It's not so that the other person knows you forgive them. For instance, I didn't forgive my father for all the abuse he put me through until he was dead. Because I wasn't doing it for him. I was doing it for myself so I could let go of it. So if you're anybody who's listening to this, if your audience, you know, doesn't forgive people or someone, it could just be someone that did something really tiny, and yet you feel that you can't forgive them because you have to tell them you forgive them, and you don't want to do that, you don't have to tell them you forgive them. They don't need to know. You do. You need to know that you can forgive them on a deeper level. Because they made whatever mistake they made, it's a little more challenging to do when you come from abusive backgrounds. But as I said, when my father died, after he died, I actually went to a 3-day seminar thing, and it was run by psychologists, and that's one of the things we had to do. We had to write to the parent that we were going to forgive, to tell them what we really would have liked to have from them as a child. And, you know, but we forgive them because we knew that they did the best they knew how. Not the best they could have done, but they did the best they knew how to do. So forgiveness is for yourself. It's not for somebody else.
That is important. How did you feel personally after you forgave your father, even after he passed? How did it make you feel?
Well, first of all, the psychologist made me go back and do the letter 3 times. Because the idea is that you don't do the letter in a blaming sense. And I kept blaming him for the childhood I had. The idea was to say what I really would have liked it to have been like, and then say, but I understand, and I let it go. And when you can do that, there's a certain amount of freedom that comes with that, because you're letting go of the need to play that victim role from childhood. You know, for years in my early 20s and in my 20s, my whole of my 20s, and even my early 30s, I was a hypochondriac. Why? Because my father was a hypochondriac. He never had anything wrong with him ever in his life until he died. But I was very hypochondriacal, and that was part of me playing the victim. When I learned how to let go of that, and I wrote that letter ultimately, it wasn't till he had been dead a couple of years, actually, that I was able to write that letter. But once I did and I understood the power of it, I just let it go. And it gave me a different kind of freedom. And I certainly stopped becoming a hypochondriac. Because
that's so cool. You learned and you became free of it. You didn't feel like you had to mirror him anymore, huh?
Exactly. I didn't have to mirror him. I didn't have to please him. You know, because I was one of these women that as a child, everything had to be perfect. Otherwise, I didn't think I would be loved. So I really went through the Cinderella syndrome, which is, you know, little girls get to have to be perfect. And when they do that, the idea is that if you're not perfect, you're not going to be loved. So you're always perfect with everything you do. If you're told not to speak, you don't speak. If you're told to do certain things a certain way, you do the things a certain way. And you know that if you don't do things that way, the chances are you won't get loved the same way. That's how children think. It just is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I always say to parents, do not live vicariously through your children. They need to be who they are.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And actually, you just answered the question that the power of words and the way we're thinking have a huge impact on our lives. That is so true. And also, just taking the choices, making the choices of who we are and who we want to be is more important than believing everything from the past. Because as we say, yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, today is a gift from God. That's why we call it the present. So that's, we need to live, we need to live in the present and let go of everything we cannot change. If what we can learn from it, we can put in the back drawer and keep it as a learning process. But what does not help us in any way, shape, or form is better to just let go. So what would you say? Go ahead.
No, sorry. Go.
That's okay. What would you say to someone who wants to know how to turn mistakes and what they consider to be failures into success?
First, I would ask them how serious they are on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being, yes, I'm really serious, 1 being, well, maybe. If they're not serious about doing this, then they need to not do anything until they are. But then they need to find the tools to be able to do it. As I said, you know, hypnosis is one of the most powerful tools you can use to make make mindset changes. And yes, it's just as effective on the phone as it is in person. I've known that for years doing it with my clients. You can do journaling so that you get your thoughts out from your head. And I can't remember the name of this speaker, but years ago I heard from one of the speakers about writing to God. So you write God the question, what is it you want of me, God? And without thinking, you write down the answer. Now, we all know that God works through all of us, so the answer is going to come from your subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go on to say, okay, and how am I supposed to do that, God? And what shall I do next, God? It's very interesting when you do this. I did it for a long time because I was very curious to see. And the other thing that people forget to do, reward yourself. If you do something that you feel is really, it doesn't matter how big or small it is, you know, reward yourself. At least give yourself a pat on the back. If nothing else, you don't poo-poo it and say, oh, that was nothing. You know, people do that all the time. I often have people come up to me and say, oh, you know, I really love you, made a difference in my life, or you look lovely, I love that dress, or whatever it is. And years ago, I would have said, oh, this is just nothing. I pulled it out from the back of my closet. Now I just say thank you. And
that's true.
You know, it's very important when you do something that is, ask yourself what you see as a success. I have my clients write success journals. Every day they write down 1 to 3 things that they consider to be successes each day. Now, this doesn't have to be business. And it doesn't have to be big. It's just something. For instance, I loathe emptying the dishwasher. So if I empty the dishwasher when it's actually finished, that is a success. And that goes down in my journal.
As you probably just heard, we're 90 seconds or less into this thing. The 30 minutes just have flown by. So I really, really want to thank you for having been with me today. I want to congratulate you and your grandson on his graduation from 8th grade. He's a handsome young man. And I just want to tell people what you're offering as a gift. And it's an e-book of inspirational quotes. And it's on www.yourstairwaytowealth.com/gift. So please go get that and read it and enjoy it. For me, my contact information is www.mickelknight.com or dythompson@mickel.com. Phone number 562-335-4956.
We got disconnected, didn't we?